I'll be able to take all the conversation while Shanaz is still struggling.
Okay. Are you the host?
No, Shanaz is the host.
Yeah, but we need Shanaz to be on so that she can then control and meet people and so that you can start the meeting.
Okay.
You are just like any other participant. You can't do anything.
Yes.
Okay, Chair, I am online.
Are you online, Ravi?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I need you to mute everybody on the system.
All right.
So that we are able to start with the meeting. There is somebody who's having a TV on or radio.
Okay. Chair, you must turn your mic on now. You can switch your mic and you can speak.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ravi. Let's just check if everybody is online. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, everybody. I hope the minister is online. Good morning, honorable minister. Good morning, Chairperson Ntshavheli. I hope you are also online. Can we just find out if all the members from both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces are online? Ravi, can we do the roll call and check? Let's start with the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education, Science and Innovation. Who is online?
I can give you the names of those that are online and I'm sure they can acknowledge. I have...
Okay, Ravi, as you read their names out, let's also get their voices to confirm if they are.
Okay. So they can unmute their mic and respond and then mute again. Okay. I've got Agnita Arensa connected. Okay. I have Andisa Kula connected.
Ravi, I want us to start with the members.
Oh, members. Sorry, I can't tell the difference, yeah, Chair, because none of them have their titles, but let's see if I can differentiate. I have Audrey Maleka.
Okay, let me help you.
Can you?
Yeah.
Have you got the list of participants?
Let me rather help you. I think I know members from the...
Yes, thank you.
And I'll just go through the list that I see on the screen. I see Honorable Nodada. Are you here? Yeah, I can hear you. Just for faith, just say present.
Present, Chair.
Thank you very much. I see Honorable Goli.
Present, Chair.
Very much. Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Litsie, are you here? I saw Honorable
yes,
okay. Thank you very much. I see Honorable
Honorable, yeah.
Are you here?
No.
Honorable Yabo?
I'm with him, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Mananiso?
I'm with him, Chair.
Thank you very much. Who else is here? I see honorable member on the screen. Can you just confirm your presence? Smiling as yeah.
So do I get to choose who appear on the screen because it's only four people? I don't know.
No, you don't get to choose. It's the system that does that.
Oh, okay.
Confirm your presence.
Yeah, confirm.
Okay. Who else we have not recognized?
Honorable Chair, I had a short interruption in my streaming, but I'm also here, Bosho, from the Freedom
okay.
Front.
Okay, Bosho, thank you very much. Honorable Novo,
Chair?
Yeah, Bo?
Chair?
Yeah, Bo?
Honorable Ndongeni.
Honorable Ndongeni.
Yeah.
I wanted to start first with the NA and then we'll go to the NCOP.
Okay. So okay, sorry. Thanks.
From the political committee, who else we have not recognized? So we only have those members confirmed.
Thank you, confirmed,
Honorable Ngogo. Honorable Ngogo, thank you very much. Mams Bia, Ukonala. Okay, Mams Bia, not yet here. Okay, can we go to the select committee? I saw the chairperson, Honorable Nchabele. Are you here, Honorable Chair? Get to the other members.
I'm present, yeah.
Members, can you please mute your mic? Please. Thank you very much. Okay, Honorable Chavilling is confirmed. Who else is here, members? From the select committee?
Honorable Lutuli.
Thank you, Honorable Lutuli. Who else?
Honorable Delman Christian.
Thank you very much.
Honorable
Bulelo Kaha.
Come again, Bulelo.
Bulelo Kaha is present, Chokoshi.
Thank you very much.
Nunkili is present.
Thank you very much.
Otter Malika is present.
Okay.
Honorable. Are we done?
Okay, Dream Malika is where's Audrey?
I'm present.
Yeah, that's confirmed, yeah.
Oh.
Honorable Ndongeni.
Honorable Ndongeni, thank you very much. Okay, we looks like we have got the majority of the members from both the Follow Committee and the Select Committee. So we are done with that. Can I just check from Shanaz or from Ravi, who are the staff members present? Anele, there.
Yes,
from the other
Anita, Aaron, sir.
Morning, sir.
Morning, I think Tanya's on here. Anele is here. Shanaz is connected. But she's still struggling with her sound, but she's following the proceedings. Those are the only... I'm sure the other staff members will recognize themselves here. I can't see all of them. It's about 46. Okay. We've got 71 participants in the meeting at the moment.
Okay.
Monu Tandoska, Committee Secretary for the Select Committee, is here, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we please just switch off our phones or just mute them? Put them on silent. We're getting confirmation from the committee staff from the Select Committee.
Chair, Dennis Band, the unit manager.
Okay. Okay.
Good morning, Chair and members. Renee Osborne Mullins, Content Advisor for Science and Technology. Thank
yeah,
you.
Renee, you're confirmed already. We are now Select Committee. Okay, thank you very much. Can I just check if the Honorable Minister is in the house?
Chair, can you hear me? I am here.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable
thank
Minister.
You.
The Honorable Deputy Minister, are you online?
Chair,
okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
we have the DG of Higher Education and Training. Are you in the house?
I'm here, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Science and Technology. Not yet. I am available. Okay, thank you very much. I saw Dr. Carolyn. I saw Dr. Carolyn earlier on.
Yes, I'm present here.
Okay, and thank you very much, everybody. We have got about uh, 70 participants. Welcome, Honorable Minister. Welcome, DGs and Honorable Members. As you can see, we are struggling a bit with this system, the Microsoft Teams. I must say I participated on Zoom on two occasions. It was far better than this one. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, Parliament has chosen this one that is the platform that we are going to use. So let's make do with what we have now, with all the problems that we might be experiencing now. We have decided to convene a meeting today, and this is a joint meeting between the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee. So the chairperson of the Select Committee, Honorable Nchabeleng, has agreed and actually requested me that I should chair this session, and he will chair the next session of the joint committee. We basically have asked the Honorable Minister to brief us
on the plans that the department has put in place or is currently putting in place to basically save the 2020 academic year in light of the COVID-19 pandemic that has affected all of us throughout the world, including us here in the country. So we are worried that we do not want this pandemic to make this 2020 academic year to go to waste. And that's why we ask that the minister must brief us so that we can have a conversation with the honorable minister to find a solution. We have also asked that the honorable minister must brief us on the efforts that are being undertaken by the science groups, particularly those in the Department of Science and Technology and Innovation, to find solutions to measures to combat the spread of COVID-19. And I'm aware that there are also other initiatives by the universities and so forth. So we'll receive that briefing from the minister. We are joined also by other stakeholders who have got an interest in the power of doing. So they know that they will not participate, they will just be here to listen. Basically, we will give preference to the members after the minister has taken through the presentation. Members will then come, ask questions, make comments, and so forth. We, unlike the other network or platform called Zoom, where you are able to raise your hand by just pressing a button, this one is a... we will have to rely on there is an icon there that shows the conversation. So if members, if they want to speak, they can just click on that icon and then write a message to indicate to myself that you want to contribute. Because as you can see, it's only four at a time who will be appearing on the screen. So we're a little bit limited here. So let's make use of the show conversation icon to indicate our willingness to make a contribution. Thank you, everybody. Shanaz is still struggling. So I hope everybody has received the agenda. She was supposed to put it here so that all of us can see the agenda. But basically, is those items that are spoken to. So we are going to take all the presentations at once, and then after that we will open for engagement. So may I take this opportunity therefore and hand over to Honorable Minister to make your remarks and indicate who's going to do the technical part of the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Mapulane. Let me also greet the Chairperson of the Select Committee, Honorable Chabele, and all the honorable members of both the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee, the officials, both the staff supporting the Portfolio Committee as well as the officials from my two departments. I must also say, Chair, I'm joined by my three advisors who are, of course, observers. They are more my eyes and ears. And members of the media. Chair, in terms of the request from yourselves, we are going to be making three presentations. The two will be Department of Higher Education and Training, which will focus on universities and TVET colleges. I do need to point out that at some stage, perhaps you may want a briefing on community education and training, because it mustn't be left behind. There is some work also that we are doing there as well. But that's not for today in terms of your request. And then also a presentation on Department of Science and Innovation. You will decide then, Chair, whether you want to take all the presentations at the same time and then have a discussion. Perhaps before I hand over to the DGs, let me just say a few words, maybe some contextual issues to as a prelude to what is going to be presented. Obviously, Chair, we are in a very difficult, complex, and very unpredictable situation. It's important to say this because in evaluating what we've got to present, obviously you have to bear in mind that we can't plan with the kind of precision that we normally do, because there are a few imponderables and things that we don't know, especially in relation to the epidemiology of the virus, COVID-19. And also as a country, we are dealing with what perhaps now can regard as three deeply interlinked crises at the same time. The first one, of course, is COVID-19 and its implications. The second crisis is the economic crisis, which is very deep even before COVID-19. And all indications point to the fact that we are likely to come out worse after COVID, firstly, just after the lockdown, whenever the lockdown gets lifted, as well as post-COVID-19. The third crisis we are dealing with is what one would call, for want of a better term, social distress in many households and communities, especially in poor and indigent households and communities. I must also say, Chair, that as Minister of Higher Education, Science and Innovation, I am a member of the National Command Council, which is led by the President, that is tasked with dealing with COVID-19 on a daily basis. However, a week before the lockdown, sometime late March, we had a meeting with all the stakeholders in the higher education and training sector, or if you like, in the post-school education and training sector. To discuss how we deal with the situation of COVID-19 in the sector. We then decided to establish a task team that represents all the key stakeholders, our department, the trade unions, the students, USAF, the vice chancellors, SACPO, which is the college principal organization, as an inclusive task team that is led by our deputy minister, whose immediate task is to manage COVID-19 and its implications in our sector and be able to take appropriate decisions. COVID-19, Chair, has also exacerbated already existing inequalities in our country. It happens at the same time as we seek to ensure that in dealing with COVID-19, we act in a manner such that no one is left behind. In fact, we are being confronted by the very same challenges we seek to address, the inequalities in our society. Therefore, because of this, my approach and our emphasis is that it is important that we seek, as the different constituencies, to act together. As universities, as colleges, as students, as workers, staff, academics, we seek to work together and not act in a manner that would exacerbate the very inequalities that we face. The other matter, Chair, which we won't be talking about today, but may decide at some stage that we need to deal with, I just need to mention it briefly in passing, is the situation with the CETAs. As you know, we've just appointed the new accounting authorities of the CETAs, the boards that started work on the 1st of April. But one of the key challenges we are faced with the CETAs is that in the light of COVID-19, the lockdown, the likely worsening economic crisis, this may have huge implications on levy collection, amongst other things. But that's not the subject of discussion today. I just want to sensitize you that this is one matter that we are dealing with as the Department of Higher Education and Training. But also, I want to say, Chair, in passing, but this is very important, because of the fact that everyone has got to now adjust and look at what are the challenges facing us immediately, including the CETAs, I am going to be undertaking a quick assessment on a number of things regarding the CETAs. Firstly, I just want to get a sense over the last year, what did CETAs spend their money on? Just to get a sense of where has our CETAs been spending the money? Is it having the impact that we need? Monies that have not been spent, unfortunately we still have a problem that each year our skills levies are not entirely utilized. As well as to also look at priorities as we move forward in the light now of the new challenges, COVID-19. I will be able to brief you at some stage with this if you want me to. And I'm also going to be undertaking a review of the National Skills Fund. I just thought, let me mention that, so that the Portfolio Committee at least is aware that we are also looking into that matter. Chair, very quickly, the way we are dealing with the challenges at this moment, we are categorizing them in terms of the periods that we have to deal with. In the presentations, you will get a sense of what we are doing now during the lockdown, but also we are beginning to say what is it that needs to be done post the lockdown, as well as what may need to be done post-COVID-19 itself, hopefully which will be sooner rather than later. But let me end just by, without going into the details that are going to be given by the presentations, but just to highlight a few things that I have also been involved in, and some of them which I've been driving. One of the key challenges that we are going to be talking about is the challenge of online education in the light of the situation that we face. There are a number of things that will be reported. I just want to highlight a few that we've just started connecting with an ICT team that has been formed actually by volunteers, key players in the ICT sector, like the former Director General of the department, the then Department of Communications, Mr. Andile Faba, and others, just to look at given the challenge we face and the role of ICT, what is the gap and what needs to be provided? We are linking up with that as the ministry because we think that that initiative is very important. We are also assessing, as it will be reported, online capacity in the system, although myself I'm not satisfied that we have gone deep enough. I'm taking an active interest in this just to see how deep can we go really in coming to the extent of even knowing who of our students have got access to what gadgets, for instance. Then I think it's something that is very important. We are also at the same time engaging the cell phone companies, the telcos as they are called, to look in the main into two things. A zero rating or for educational websites and other educational facilities, as well as the issue of data. I want to also say, Chair, I won't be long from now, I also want to say, Chair, that something that I would also urge both committees to also be preoccupied with. As a country, we are in the midst now, it's already started, of releasing new spectrum. We are feeling as higher education, and we're going to be engaging Minister Motsekga on this, that release of new spectrum must also include dedicated spectrum for education in the country. If there is one lesson we must learn out of COVID-19, is that we need ICT online and all those. So we must argue very strongly for spectrum that must be released and must be dedicated to education in the country. We hope that you will also get an interest in that, Chairperson, so that we are able to fight together this matter. Of course, the primary task now is saving the academic year, which we will report about, and to continue having stakeholder engagement. And I want to say, Chair, we have more or less allowed the Department of course, the President, and then the Department of Health, and cluster briefings by ministers, just to give briefings now and again. It's clear now we've decided that we are going to start increasing communication on our side from the two departments much more regularly, given the state we are in, and we are starting with what is going to be a joint press conference on Friday together with the Department of Basic Education. As you may understand, we have mutual interest with basic education. For example, in talking about the academic year, both departments have to succeed. Both the school year and the academic years have to succeed. You can't have one succeeding and the other failing, because that has got huge implications. We also have to make sure, as it will be reported, that in a way our institutions must turn into some kind of mini health centers because of the numbers in terms of concentration of students going forward whenever we start calling back our students, which at the moment you will get a sense of what our plans are, although they can't be 100%. So with that background then, NSFAS, I see you have invited NSFAS. We had agreed that the allowances are going to continue, but if you have got any specific issues about what is happening now, I'm glad that Dr. Carlson has also joined us. So with that background, Chair, without wasting any more time, I then hand back to you and then request that we ask DHET first to start with their two presentations and followed by the Department of Science and Innovation. And of course, for NSFAS, you may be, I suppose you invited them. I don't know whether we are giving them space to present or perhaps they will be here just to answer questions. Yes, and when it becomes necessary. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members.
Honourable Chair, your mic is off. There's a button you must press there for
for you to speak.
Okay, I don't know who muted my mic because it's supposed to be always on. I assume that it was on. My apologies, members. Now, I was saying that we did invite NSFAS, but not to come and make a presentation, but just to be part of the conversation. We are hoping that as part of your presentation as a department, you will then incorporate some of those issues that affect NSFAS. So yeah, let's then invite the DG or DHET.
Thank you, Chair, Minister, Chair of the Select Committee, as well as Deputy Minister in the Department, honorable members, my colleagues as well. Thank you very much. We've got a presentation, Chair, which is covering both university education sector as well as TVET college sector in respect to what are the concrete preparations that are currently undertaken in each and every institution as well as across the system as a whole. I would like to ask Dr. Paga to take us through the part of the university education, and Ms. Aruna Singh will take us through TVET colleges. Then we take it from there, Chair, if you allow. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. May I just ask the presenters to switch on their video so that we can see you as you present.
All right, thank you, Chair.
Dr. Parker?
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister and other colleagues. I'm going to do the presentation. I'm not sure if there is someone who's got the presentation to put up, or should I share the presentation, the version of the presentation I've got? Should I share the version I have?
Okay, let's check, Shaman, whether you do have.
I think please share. I see her responses. If the doctor could please share her presentation.
Okay, Dr. Parker, share the presentation with us.
I'm not sure if it's come up. Has the presentation come up? I'm trying to share it right now.
Yeah.
But I can't see it. Can you see it? Okay,
just,
fine.
Just share it again and then enlarge the screen.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm just checking to see that I've got it at the start of the presentation. Okay. Can you all see the presentation?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, colleagues, perhaps just to start off now, I need to go to the front, to the first page. I can't see what the screen is showing everybody, but I'm hoping it's at the front page with the Department of Higher Education and Training visible. Is that correct? It's a change from the page. Good. Maybe just to start then, this presentation, which is just focusing on the university sector, the first part, starts with some overview of the plan to save the 2020 academic year for public universities. As the Minister indicated, the presentation really does focus on the current lockdown period and working towards the lifting of the lockdown and going into the resumption of the academic year. You also requested, Honourable Chair, information about students remaining at university, so we have also provided that, and then some information about the search work that is ongoing in the system. In terms of the academic year, we've been meeting with three universities in South Africa, the University Vice Chancellors and Deputy Vice Chancellors, working on plans for the academic year and through the task team that the Minister has set up with stakeholders, we've been discussing possibilities for how we take things forward. I think the key principles and agreements that we have in the system are firstly that everybody is committed to completing this academic year. We recognize that there are different scenarios that have to be put forward as we consider what this means, because we don't know what the exact trajectory of the pandemic will be in South Africa. But what we have recognized is, given the time already lost, there has to be a reorganization of the academic year. And it is possible that the end of the academic year would extend into the beginning of 2021. Now that really depends on what the information is that we get from the experts and our discussions as well, as I'll indicate later with DBE. The basic principle that everybody agrees to is that no student should be left behind. But what this really means is that everybody has to be given a fair opportunity to complete the year. Nobody should be in a situation where they're not able to access the materials and the learning support required for completion. So I think the other very important point is a commitment amongst universities to work together as a sector, understanding that there are institutional differences and that there will not be a one-size-fits-all approach, but each institution will have to plan the best way possible, utilizing various learning methodologies, both online, remote, and flexible learning methodologies, to ensure that students are effectively supported. Now, this means that it's a mix of different types of learning materials that are being suggested by institutions. Some institutions have better facilities in terms of being able to offer online materials to students, but when students are not able to access online materials, other kinds of materials are being prepared and are being delivered to students, including print material, dongles, and so on, you know, sort of to enable students to get access. Consultation with DBE is a really critical aspect. There have been some discussions through the NAC Joint Task Team with DBE and DHET in terms of alignment between the academic year for higher education and DBE's school year. But this is going to be very important for us to think about, and there are different scenarios under consideration. We are going to have to work very closely to ensure that we have alignment. The other point that is really a key principle and something that is of concern to most universities is the large-scale infrastructure programs that are currently underway on campuses. They've all obviously had to stop during the lockdown period, but institutions want to commence with these as soon as possible, particularly given the cost for delaying that are being incurred. So in terms of an overarching plan and guidelines that are under consideration at the moment, and which I'm sure the Minister will be finalising and discussing at the press conference towards the end of the week, is first that we should be having a phased-in return to the academic year. With a combination of online and remote learning initially, and then a full return to contact teaching when feasible for contact institutions. Clearly, UNISA is a different case because it is not a contact institution, They do have a specific plan that has been put in place to also ensure support for their students. Scientific advice is essential for this, and really the final decisions on exactly what these gates would be will be linked to the precepts of government and the various regulations in place, and what we, the information we get from the experts in the health sector. Most institutions are looking at a return to teaching and learning, primarily through online and remote methodologies from the 4th of May. Some institutions have already started, I think two have, and others are in an orientation period at the moment, working towards the 4th of May as a date for starting teaching and learning more effectively. This issue of a return to face-to-face campus activity, there's an agreement that this shouldn't happen until we've got the peak virus over. But we're not sure exactly what the timing is. There are different scenarios. While we're starting with a soft start on the 4th of May, there are different scenarios that look at the 1st of July as a first possible date, and then the other dates after that going through until September. So that will totally depend on the issues that arise as the pandemic, the trajectory of the pandemic unfolds. But the issue is that in the meantime, we need to have a phased-in resumption of campus activity. And so each institution is looking very specifically at which types of teaching and learning contact activities need to be phased in first and how we would manage that. So there will be critical criteria developed at each campus level in terms of dealing with the, I think I've lost my place, critical criteria developed at a national institutional level so that there can be this phase in of on-campus activity. Currently, the provision of and loan of devices through either students getting those devices or on loan is happening. This really leads to work that each institution is doing in understanding what kind of methodology we utilize with their students, and then identifying the students that require support and what kind of support. So some institutions have already started delivering devices and have bought devices. There are others that are delivering hard copy material and flexible learning material, the data stick, as well as devices. And this is all dependent on the access that students have to networks, because while institutions can provide devices and they can provide, for example, zero-rated websites, and they are working at data bundles for students, the issue of connectivity where students are becomes a critical aspect. Really, the sector-wide possibilities are also being explored for access to learning sites on a coordinated basis for students not able to access appropriate study conditions, and this is specifically for those students who are not able to access networks or have very inappropriate home learning spaces. So if those students are not able to return to campus, then we want to be able to know where those students are located and possibly have a coordinated process for study spaces that those students can go to in order to be effectively serviced for teaching and learning. So really all of these things are under consideration, and the key point really is that every effort has been made to ensure that every student is contacted and that we are able to support teaching and learning and complete the academic year. So additional considerations, particularly when individuals start returning to campuses is to ensure, firstly, that there is proper environmental cleaning of all campuses and residences, and that's happening on campus sites. And the second one is that as individuals return, there's a 360-degree screening and testing of staff and students, so that any staff or student who is showing symptoms is tested, and should they have the virus, they would then be assisted to be put into quarantine facilities. So all institutions are looking at the availability of on-campus quarantine facilities in order to take care of any person who does present with the virus on return. The next aspect is really about understanding the NSFAS funding. We'll talk a little bit about NSFAS funding just now, but currently students are being funded during this period now in order to support them. But we recognize with the extension of the academic year, there may be a need to support students for additional months and possibly into the first quarter of 2021. And that may have financial implications that we're going to have to understand, and that modeling must take place. The issue of communication is also an important consideration. Obviously, at the national level, the minister will be communicating, but there is also a need for institutional level communication, particularly with communities of students and staff. So this is something that we've agreed on. The issue of mental health support and other forms of support necessary for staff and students is also critical. Higher Health specifically has been working with the system to put together a set of guidelines and then also to provide support for universities and I believe TVET colleges as well in relation to this. So all institutions are planning and are ensuring that they have facilities in place. The issue of zero-rated URL sites and data bundles, that is something that is being dealt with through another ministerial task team with the Minister of Communications as well. And this is absolutely critical for students who are undertaking online learning. Those institutions that have started the process had already put this in place, which is why they felt they could start, I think, yesterday, specifically BITS and UJ. The possible funding requirements for institutions in distress is being explored as well. We understand that the fiscal situation is going to be very difficult in the coming months. The Minister has stressed that in his opening remarks. But at the same time, we have to understand exactly what the effects of this are financially and how we think about the support to students and universities. Program collaboration across institutions is a critical one that has been explored as well. Certain institutions have already opened up their learning materials to each other so that they can be shared across the system. Going on to students remaining on campuses, following the initial outbreak of COVID-19, and the early reset, many institutions had already indicated that students needed to return home. And with the lockdown coming in, the majority of students have returned home. There are some that are still on campus, mainly postgraduate and international students, with other smaller groups of vulnerable students who were unable to return home also being supported. They are receiving support for food and hygiene products, and there are essential services in place. Many of the students are not some of them are on-campus residences, and others are on off-campus leased residences. But there is a list here of the numbers of students remaining on the various campuses throughout the system, and in total of the over 1 million students in the system, 6,270 are remaining in residences. In terms of universities work, there's a lot of work going on across the university system, and there is a report that is currently being developed, and it's being updated on a continuous basis on work done in the university system. This involves the production of various kinds of masks, sanitizers, etc., valves, the technical products to support COVID-19, as well as a great deal of research in the system. And there is a report that has been provided from the universities in terms of some of this work that is being done, that is being made available to the portfolio committee. In terms of the last slide, this is just a very brief NSFAS update. It doesn't give lots of details, but the key issue is that NSFAS allowances have continued to be paid during the lockdown period. Many institutions had paid students before the lockdown to ensure that they had the necessary funds before leaving campuses. Learning material allowances were paid to all university students early in the academic year when funding and registration was confirmed. Some university students did buy the devices with the learning material allowances facilitated by institutions. But upfront payments from this set to the institutions enable these allowances to be paid. There's been no change to NSFAS funding for qualifying students at this stage, given the likely extension of the academic year. Modeling has been done to determine the costs of the various scenarios. And then, you know, in terms of the latest report received by the Minister from NSFAS, there are a total number of 5,516 first-time entering students, where there are appeals that have been approved, and a further 1,404 student appeals that were unsuccessful. The total amount of 24,571 continuing students appeals have been received, and 14,117 have been approved. I'm sure that with Dr. Carolison being here, if there are any specific questions about NSFAS, those could be answered by him. NSFAS has established a virtual contact center as well, using web platforms and social media, and these seem to be very successful in terms of engaging with students. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Parker. Can we move to the TVET?
Chairperson, with your permission, can you just give me a minute? There's one very important thing that I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry about this. I got advice from the Council for Higher Education to actually say that in looking at the challenges facing the sector vis-a-vis COVID-19, we must not lose sight on the private higher education sector, simply because they are students, which we also have an interest in, and amongst them also they are poor students, by the way. We have to look at what is their situation, what is actually, even if government is not funding them. So I just thought that we must not lose sight of that, Chair, and also for the Portfolio Committee itself to actually be sensitive to that dimension. I have decided that I'm going to meet with them, some of the big providers in higher education, the private ones, including in the TVET sector. And secondly, also, we've been having a request from private student accommodation providers who also are raising all sorts of things. You know, they are complaining about some of them, their sustainability, because the students are not there, are they going to be renting, you know, and so on. I'm also planning to actually meet them so that I can hear directly what their concerns are. I'm sorry, Chair, I just thought that let me add that now so that in case in the discussions we might have to actually use. I also, Chair, hope that you did check that our Deputy Minister, by the way, is also here and has joined us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Minister. The Deputy Minister has confirmed that he's online. I think maybe after the presentation, we might also give him some opportunity to brief us on the work of the task team. I know that this is coming from the task team, but he might want to add one or two. Can you talk to that?
Yes, good morning, Honourable Member, Honourable Chair, the Minister and Deputy Minister and the rest of the Honourable Members. I'm not sure if my presentation is visible. I've sent it to Shanaz and I was hoping that she could get it up. But if not, we'll have to talk through it because we also didn't see Dr. Parker's on screen. So can I just go through the presentation? Sorry?
Yeah, it's on screen now. Huh?
Is it? Because we can't see it. I can't see it. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Honorable Chair, the presentation is actually quite short. But the detail, a lot of the detail is in the briefing that we provided in the text briefing. But of course, the presentation will just highlight those important aspects that are important to the committee members. Honorable Chair, in crafting the possible scenarios for the return of students in the TVET sector, we presented two. One, of course, is the less desirable one. The other is the more likely. The first scenario is, of course, we contemplated that for whatever reason, in the next week or so, things change and there is an extended lockdown. If it is extended by more than 2 weeks, we will have to take a complete review of the current position we've taken and the calendar we've developed. If it is anything up to 2 weeks, I think we can manage it within the current arrangements that will be presented and that are contemplated. So the scenario one in the presentation is what we are calling the worst case scenario, actually. Scenario two is what is likely to prevail. We are looking at the lifting of the current lockdown with the softening of the restrictions and with students returning around 4th May. And it's important to consider this because it aligns very broadly to the DBE's plans for students, for learners in the schooling system to return in that same week, the first week of May. Honorable Chair, it's also important to just report for the TVET sector, we've only had ever one case of a COVID positive case in the TVET system. It was a lecturer at campus level at Motheo TVET College. That was the only positive case we had reported in the system. That was dealt with more or less in the first week of the lockdown, and you know, the necessary steps were taken, the testing of the affected people at the campus was undertaken and so forth. The other thing to just clarify is that we have not had in the TVET system any students in the residences. When the lockdown happened, students were given a few days and all the residences were cleared. So just to provide that background information. In terms of the calendar and the return to students, given that TVET colleges operate on a national academic calendar, underpinned by the examinations that we run, the national examinations, we work backwards from that to say, well, how would we deal with the national examinations should students return in the first week of May, and how would the academic program then unfold from the examinations? So that slide actually looks at how we propose the exams to unfold with the students returning in the first week of May. Now, in terms of the return of students, we haven't finalized any single approach. We are still getting feedback from the regions to say which approach they would prefer. There are two on the table at the moment. One says that there should be a staggered approach to students coming, very similar to what DBE is saying. Essentially, those that are going to write exams first will return first, and then the subsequent exams will dictate when the others return, more or less 2 weeks apart. The other approach is to say all students will return at the same time on 4th of May, but then they will be split into two, each class, sorry, will be split into two, and kind of a double program will be run. But of course, all students can't be at the college every day, and careful plans will have to be delivered on which students come on which day, half the students on one day and half the students on another day. And it's a reduced week, attendance week. And those students who are not in class will have to be given independent work and so forth. So very broadly, those are the two approaches. But in the next 2 days, we are going to finalize what is going to work for each one of the regions. In terms of the exams, the trimester one students had reached the end of their trimester by the time the lockdown happened. They just had about another week of teaching before they went into exams. So obviously that's the priority for when students return, to just do a quick brush up with those students so that they can go into an exams period. So we are looking from about mid-May to going into the first week of June to actually run the trimester one examinations nationally for those students. And then for semester one, to start the semester one exams as soon as the trimester one exams finish, which is from the middle of June and carrying on until about mid-July. So that will take care of the first semester, and they would be aligned to what they should have completed by that time. And then trimester two would come back, and they would, of course, start off trimester two and then take the exams in October to clear the space for semester two students and the annual examination of the NCV students, which would be in November, December of 2020. So in view of what of the time that we have left, what it really means, if you look at that schedule, is that trimester three will not be possible. We will not run trimester three for the NATED, engineering studies program. So this is it's important to start off with the examination calendar, because the rest of the program, the teaching program, you know, the catch-up program, the intensification of teaching, and all of that emanates from the conduct of the national examination. Then, Chair, the next slide speaks to the support provided to TVET students. Now, as we know, TVET students do not have, you know, the facilities that most students in universities are likely to have, even though there are difficulties. So we looked at what is it that would help students prepare for examinations, at least for the theory examinations immediately. The practicals, we know we're going to have to come to some kind of arrangement once students return to really intensify the training for students who need the workshops and so forth. But at least for the examinations, you know, the seven cycles of examinations we run for the year, we looked at what we can do to really assist students. And we looked at them at different levels. And level one is obviously the widest reach. How is it possible for us to reach really every student who is at home? And it was clear that given the textbook approach that is still very much in force in TVET colleges, it is the way teaching is approached by lecturers, by and large. And, you know, some are innovative using that, but textbooks, because it is provided to students free of charge, they don't have to go out and buy it. The college distributes it to students. So it's fair to take it for granted that every single student has a textbook. And very often in the times preceding the exams, it is common practice for lecturers in colleges to work with students through examination papers. So we've taken that into account, saying every student has a textbook. We've uploaded exam papers that are accessible to students, but lecturers can also make that available to students. And to say that lecturers can actually support students through a learning program by guiding them through the textbook. Now, we've done a bit of a survey to ask what is the most popular modality. We haven't collated all of that information, but it seems like the very, very common practice is that lecturers are communicating with students through WhatsApp. And we can understand why, because, you know, WhatsApp has the most wide usage. It's also the cheapest application to use and so forth. So lecturers are using WhatsApp to communicate with classes where they've set up classes and to communicate with students in a very direct way. They're allowed to ask questions and so forth. So we thought that was important to say that level of support is very practical and it can reach a lot of students. Level two is where there have been radio and television broadcasts that is covered down the line, but radio and television has a wider reach than, using data and Wi-Fi and so forth. Level three is about the zero-rated websites that we've spoken about already and certain free links that are available to students. But even then, the reason we do not see this reaching as many students as we would like is because it is very device restricted. You know, we can say students will receive it on their phones, but phones do not really make for good reading and learning. It still needs to be accessible on a device that can be like a laptop or a bigger tablet or whatever. And then the final level four, it is available to certain students, but to a small number, under 40%, we say, because in the survey we've undertaken, 17 out of 50 colleges currently have offered some form of distance education. So they will be able to use that to reach more students. I mean, ordinarily it was used just for distance learning students, but now they are in a position to use the system to reach more students under the lockdown period. So this is how we've looked at the possibilities for TVET students, and different colleges are able to use different permutations of these services and facilities and capabilities that are available to the individual institutions. Then in terms of the specifics of the online in particular, learning support initiatives that are already in place, the websites we have confirmed are zero rated, that college students will be able to visit the college website using without needing data, and that will allow access to learning resources, guidelines, and more importantly, for the individual colleges to be able to communicate with their students. Because as much as we are trying to send out, you know, communication from the department,
move to DSI, as we move to DSI, can we please ask the participants to mute their mics?
COVID-19 in KZN. The study design used to develop community testing